The Health Fix podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. I have Dr. Chris Miletus on again to help in the discussion about energy production, since so many people out there are fatigued and just not getting better with traditional sources. We've got to dive deeper. And so, Dr. Chris, welcome to The Health Fix.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
So today we're going to be talking about nicotinamide riboside. And for those of you who have no idea what I just said, and it sounded like blah, 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 NAD. A lot of you have maybe heard about NAD for boosting energy, but today we're going to dive into why NAD is helpful for boosting energy, but also how it can help with boosting immunity, helping with fertility, and a bunch of other things. So let's jump in first. Dr. Chris, introduce us to this concept of production of NAD in the body on a basic level. Where do we get it from? Just like you showed me in the different pathways, what's the scoop here?
Great question. And it comes back to, as clinicians, when it all starts to make sense. We were all taught this in our biochemistry and physiology and nutrition classes. But then it's like, but what does it mean in clinical practice? And so there's a process called the de novo, or the way in which it occurs in the body, where we can actually convert tryptophan, the amino acid, into niacin, and then niacin into NAD. It's a very arduous, long process, requires many different enzyme pathways to be properly fueled and genetically not altered, or what we call mutated or polymorphisms. And we know we all have risk for polymorphism. So that de novo or natural pathway of the amino acid to make niacin and or consuming niacin in our diets, one way to help support NAD. But NAD levels drop by 50% from the ages of 40 to 60. So that's part of that aging process. But then we have the Priestman Handler pathways, another biochemical pathway. It is actually more than the two steps that are required. It's a multi-step pathway to make NAD. Then there's the fastest pathway to make NAD. It's called the salvage pathway, like salvaging a ship or a wreckage. And the salvage pathway is actually just a two-step pathway from nicotinamide riboside down to make NAD. So the nicotinamide riboside is a patented item. It has 100+ preclinical trials, 5+ full clinical trials. It's been shown to be the most effective way to augment naturally this diminishing amount of NAD. So as we look at aging, and like we spoke on our previous interview, the mitochondria for every decade past the age of 30 is going down 10% in energy production and performance. So I'm 54, so I'm 24% behind the curve, and that's assuming I haven't done other things to worsen that curve, and some of us might be a little bit better. But I think NAD levels have dropped by 50% by the age of 60. That's a fairly precipitous drop. So then the question is, what can we do to support it? So we've got the de novo, the natural pathway. We have the Priestman Handler pathway. We have the salvage pathway. And so we have all these different pathways. And so to think that the body has all these ways to make it happen kind of gives you a sense of the priority and the importance of NAD. And without NAD, we wouldn't have a functioning immune system. We wouldn't be able to support our mitochondria and make energy. So we'd be just basically sitting here like a rock, just really with no energy to do anything.
Oh, man. And none of us want to be like that. So, of course, that's why we are going to mine you for information today. So one of the things I hear from patients all the time when I bring up the subject of NAD, and if they have any knowledge of it and they know that it's tied to niacin, the first thought that comes to a lot of folks' heads is, am I going to flush? Am I going to get a reaction? So I know that it's not a flushing type of molecule, but for those folks who are worried about niacin, can you give us a little explanation of how we're kind of maybe skipping over the reaction where niacin is officially made, or how we're kind of working around that so that folks are not going to have that huge dump of niacin going into their system?
Certainly. And I think that's a realistic concern. I can tell you over the years, because niacin, as you and I both know, and we've used in our clinical practice, and even sustained niacin can cause that niacin flush. And I've had more than one patient call up panicky, forgetting that I warned them about the niacin flush. So now I actually pull up a Google picture of a niacin flush, of a bright red prickly rash. I said, if that happens, it's due to the niacin, you're not dying. That reassures them and we have less panic. But so niacin, of course, vitamin B3. There's a form of niacinamide, which is non-flushing. There's niacin, which is flushing. And niacin, of course, was used even back in the 1970s by medical doctors at very high dosages to actually lower cholesterol. And it does have that mechanism where it can actually help lower cholesterol and triglyceride levels and so forth. But the flush is a bear. So we often will do a sustained release or controlled release niacin. And that would, of course, lessen the likelihood. In the form of nicotinamide riboside, or what's known as NR, it has none of that flushing capacity. It's another, yet another form of B3 without that flushing capacity. So just like niacinamide doesn't cause flushing, niacin does. The nicotinamide riboside also does not cause flushing. So rest assured, and I'm actually a flusher. In fact, when my office manager came in, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I had taken simply 2 B-complex with real niacin, and not niacinamide, but the niacin. And she says, do you know you're red? And I'm a very pale person. If I have any melanin, I'm not sure where it is. Me and Casper is all I will say. And she said, I said, yeah, not only am I red, I said, I'm prickly too. She said, no, you're really red. And she started comparing things that were red colored in my office. She says, I said, okay, hand me the mirror. And boy, I was like a lobster. I was like, okay, I am red. But niacin, of course, can also cause a histamine release. But once again, nicotinamide riboside, not an issue. There's been no evidence showing that it caused any of that flushing. And once again, it's the closest thing through the salvage pathway to make NAD. So it's the most efficient and non-flushing, and lots of clinical trials on it.
So there you have it, folks. You are not going to have that flush reaction. You know, I have a funny story about the flushing too. I actually, in Colorado, we would take it on purpose to go skiing up the mountain when it was freezing cold out. And like most of us, we kind of knew how long it would take before the flush reaction kind of happened in our body. So we would take it at like the right time so that we would stay warm and then really be warm by the time we got to the top of the mountain. So you can use it to your advantage, folks. There are ways to use the niacin flush to your advantage. Yeah, don't try this at home.
A little too exhilarating for me, at least. That's all I will say.
Yes, for sure. Just some fun tidbits, folks. I like to keep it fun. So, all right. So we've established that we're not going to flush with this niacin business, without the niacin business involved in the nicotinamide riboside, because the nicotinamide riboside is going to convert to NAD. Now, a lot of folks will come in my office and they'll be like, hey, doc, I've heard of this NAD stuff. And in particular, True Niagen is what a lot of folks have heard of just because of marketing. And they'll be like, hey, is that only for athletes? So I want to clear it up that, like you said, we decrease by 50% between 40 and 60 years of age. You do not have to be an athlete to benefit from NAD.
And that is 100% correct. With the aging process, and of course, we've just gone through this historical moment where people with lung history, aged individuals, and the virus that we've already been talking about, we know there's these risk factors. And with the aging process, their muscles do diminish, but for all of it. So one of the greatest risk factors for a poor outcome into life is poor muscles. They say the stronger your muscles, the greater your recovery from surgeries, the greater likelihood you're not going to, of course, have a fall, but also overall sustainability of your well-being. They're really now pointing towards healthy muscles, athlete or not. But think about the fact that our liver, so many people now have fatty livers, but that's a mitochondrial issue often. And because it's non-alcoholic fatty liver, you haven't really done a whole lot for it. And they say, oh, well, that's a fat person thing. No, thin people in my practice have just as fatty livers as heavier people. Now, if being obese and overweight is not going to help you in that regard. But what we're finding is the brain drops, the pancreas drops, the heart, the lungs. The lungs have only about 20 to 25% of NAD levels compared to quote-unquote norm. So with the aging process, a lot of these levels are dropping, making us much more susceptible. We also see that people with individuals with type 2 diabetes higher risk. So obesity, lower NAD, aging, lower NAD in the lungs and elsewhere, diabetes, lower NAD. So part of that's that susceptibility to all kinds of things. Plus, we're an overfed, undernourished society. And our body just is not able to sustain that level of energetic well-being. And that's why a lot of people are suffering from feeling a lot older or a lot more broken than they ought to for their chronological age. And I think both you and I would argue it's all about the biological age of really how healthy and young are you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's a really good point to make, because I see a lot of folks who are, quote, fit. Their bodies look fit. They're pushing themselves to the limit with certain athletic, you know, things that they're up to. But yet when we look at some of the metabolic studies, such as we look at their OAT test or things of that nature, I'm finding that they look fit from the outside, but their metabolic age internally is not so great. And the fact that you're mentioning lungs in particular as, you know, a decrease of NAD in the lungs, I mean, to maintain your physical fitness, of course, you need to maintain those lungs because they're going to help you breathe. I mean, and just anyone in general. But another interesting component here is the heart. And as we know, the heart and lungs, of course, if those guys become compromised, we can have all kinds of issues for tons of things. Now, one thing I noted, because I checked out when you sent me over that slide there on the different effects and percentage wise of the different organs as NAD decreases, I saw something like 35% to 90% in the brain, some decrease of NAD as we get older. Let's talk a little bit about what NAD does in the brain in particular for us.
Well, certainly. And what's interesting is the heart, the brain, the lungs. It is, you know, the brain is your CPU, is your central processing unit. And as we're sitting here, 20% of our oxygen at rest is going to our brain. It is, of course, a highly energetic substance, or, you know, entity, tissue. And just like the heart, it's constantly going, constantly working, has a lot of oxidative damage. And we lose on a good day one brain cell per second, or 86,400 per day. That's one Mississippi, whoop, there went one, two Mississippi, whoop, there went another brain cell. But luckily we have neuroplasticity, and that's the real key. And as we get older, think of our brain chemistry. We have our serotonin, our dopamine. We have, of course, our structural integrity of the cerebellum and cerebrum. And we have all of these aspects of the brain structurally that have to have the energy to basically clean house, to stay pristine, to get rid of toxins and waste products. And we're finding with Alzheimer's, there's actually a 50% lower level in one study of NAD. So once again, clear, focused, sharp is, of course, only as good as the tissue. So whether it be the muscle between our ears or the muscle in our biceps, quads, the hamstrings, we once again have to support the tissues. Of course, I play on the word the brain as a muscle, but we have to exercise it like we exercise everything else. And it's a highly energetic substance. And you think about acetylcholine, the memory neurotransmitter. Well, you have choline, you have to make it into acetylcholine for memory, okay, or happiness. But tryptophan to make 5-HTP to make serotonin, or tyrosine, or of course, phenylalanine to make dopamine or norepinephrine, epinephrine. So all of a sudden, that takes energy. So if our brain is underfueled, we're going to be feeling tired, worn out, apathetic, and we're going to feel more like Eeyore than, once again, a Tigger. So once again, you know, Eeyore is quite adorable with his little pinned on tail, but aptitude-wise and affect, not the best uplifting conversationalist.
For sure, for sure. Oh boy, let's talk some more. I wanted to chat definitely in that realm of brain, because I think that I'm seeing a lot of folks coming in complaining of brain fog, and usually brain fog, fatigue, pain, all these kind of seem to go together, and it usually tends to be my folks who are about 35 to 40 years of age and older. I don't see it so much in my 20-year-olds. But my interest is that I see a lot of folks who have multiple viral infections. So we run a screen and we're looking at Epstein-Barr virus is present, cytomegalovirus, maybe herpes virus 6, you know, maybe there's even some Lyme in the picture. So we have all of these different viruses and bugs hanging out in someone's system, and they're getting intense brain fog, they're getting pain, and they're, it almost seems like their lymphatic system's backed up too, which I know NAD has an effect on that. In this case, with all of this multi-system backup, would you say that NAD is really, its most effect is on those mitochondria in a level of creating enough energy for the mitochondria to detox from fighting these viruses so that basically we can fight but also have enough of that antioxidant? I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm blah, 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 blah. But what I'm trying to...
Can you help me? You're being a naturopath, and you're actually teasing it out, which is brilliant. And so what actually is true is it's the mad grab for NAD. And so we have all these viral infections, and they're saying, your immune system is going to need NAD to fight off a virus. The evidence in this is very clear, and even with the current little virus going around, or big virus, and once again, I need to give appropriate homage to the nature of what's happening historically with humanity. I shouldn't have called it a little virus. It's a historically monumental virus. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is the evidence shows that whenever we're dealing with a virus of any sort, we are actually munching on NAD. It actually, NAD levels deplete with viral infections. And I would argue the same thing with Lyme disease. So now, once again, we need it for our brain. We need it for our heart. We need it for all of our tissues. We need it for the mitochondria, like you were just saying. But now it's all of a sudden like, could there be basically down to where we just have a few crumbs and that's not enough to sustain us in the thriving mode, and we're barely feeling like we're surviving. So, of course, our goal for our patients, our athletes, but just the average Joe or Jill, is to thrive and not merely survive. And so this grab for NAD, so it's lowering by 50% from 40 to 60. Then you have a virus. You have a comorbid factor, diabetes, a virus, Lyme disease, and or some seasonal virus going around. And so all of a sudden, your NAD levels drop more precipitously. And I'm going to do a rabbit trail myself. Earlier today, I had a Zoom call with one of my patients. She's a healthcare provider. And her zinc levels, I measured her red blood cell zinc levels. And they were literally with a big old L low. So red blood cell zinc, Quest Diagnostics, low. And I looked at her lymphocyte count and her neutrophil count. Those, of course, are white blood cells. And, of course, we have a total white blood cells. We have our neutrophils. We have our lymphocytes. Her lymphocyte count was equal to her neutrophil count. That's not normal. We usually have more neutrophils, as you and I both know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going, so you had a virus, didn't you? And she says, yeah, how did you know? I said, well, your lymphocyte count was high, and that's one of the common causes for elevated lymphocytes and lymphocytosis. And I says, well, you know, you need zinc in order to fight off the RNA component to this. She says, you know what? Back in January, so before it hit all the big news, she said, I had all the classical signs of the virus that's going around. I says, well, that would make sense because you need zinc to help control the RNA capacity and actually to prevent the RNA replication within the cell. So this is why they claim that hydroxychloroquine may help, is because it's a zinc ionophore. It actually helps zinc get into the cell. And it says, but if you look back in July of 2019, your zinc levels were fine. So somewhere from July of 2019 till now, something's munched on your zinc. And she said, well, that totally makes sense. And so it's the same thing here. Her energy levels are low. She's feeling apathetic. And on top of it, she's going through menopause. Her estrogen levels are dropping. Her progesterone levels are dropping. And so it's like she's all of a sudden, like the water's all left the pond, and she's adrift. She's actually landlocked. And because her NAD levels are low, because she fought off a virus, are lower. Her zinc levels are measurably lower. And she's feeling not only menopause brain, she's feeling menopause body. She said, I'm working harder than ever to be fit. I'm eating super healthy. She's of a Middle Eastern descent, so she's pretty healthy. And lots of you did spices. I couldn't ask for a better patient. And it all fits together. Why she's feeling crummy. Low zinc, low NAD, both of which get munched on by viruses, whether it be a seasonal virus or, like you said, the herpes 6, the cytomegalovirus, Epstein-Barr virus, leading to chronic fatigue. After all, when we do a chronic fatigue panel, it's not just EBV, like I used to major back in the 90s. Now they're doing CMV. They're doing the herpes 6. They're doing a whole viral panel. But these viruses munch on NAD. Could that be part of that picture? I think that's where you were probably going.
Yes. 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 Is it part of what's going down? And even more so than that, could it be that perhaps as a society, that just the way we live, the way it's fast-paced, the way things go down with stress, that we are further depleting our NAD?
Yeah, I would think that we're not designed for this Energizer Bunny life. I mean, Tigger can only sustain it so long. A manic depressive individual can only maintain mania for so long. And then they have the counterpart of that, which is the depression, that cyclic up and down of bipolar. And I think for most of us, we're expected to just be on all the time. And back in the 90s, you and I remember the commercial. I'm dating myself. Maybe you don't remember the 90s.
I do. I do. Don't ask me about the 70s, though.
Okay. And they said, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? It was a cell phone commercial. Not only can you hear you now, it can, whenever you hear a ding, you say, is that my phone? And then it's ding for a text message, ding for an instant message, ding for a voicemail, ding, ding, ding. And it's like, it reminds me of back in the 60s and 70s, the hearing test. You're supposed to raise your hand when you hear the beep.
Yeah.
But we're like these Pavlovian animals trained to respond to the beep, and we actually willingly do it. And let's not even go into whatever the wireless cellular signal is doing to our trillions of cells in the body. It's like, oh my goodness. So, no, I think that all of our helter-skelterness, which is really, you know, albeit it was coined by Charles Manson and his motley crew of criminals, but and we live in this helter-skelter world. And I think all of us talking and listening and chatting with friends, like, we didn't sign up for this. We wanted to play outside with our little ball. And when it got dark, we went inside. We played hide and seek. We wanted a simple little life. And what we have now as adult human beings in a westernized world is anything but Kansas. We're no longer in Kansas. And I'm not sure what's behind the curtain of the yellow brick road, but I'm certain I don't necessarily want to look right now because of everything that's happening in the world. It's just so much more daunting. And I argue Little House on the Prairie days, Doc Baker, and keeping it simple. You had to walk every place. You had to work for everything. And I don't think I've ever shared the story of the skinny farmer. But I give the example of Little House on the Prairie. Those that are not familiar, this was on the prairie. They found their homesteaded. They have some land. And could you imagine if you're the farmer? And you say, you speak to your significant other, I would love to have some bread. Well, that sounds really great. I would love some bread too. And so why don't you go ahead and harness up the oxen or the horses. Go ahead and till the field. Go ahead and plant the wheat. Take care of the wheat. Take care of the animals this whole time. And finally you get and you take it to your heart and you say, hey, I got some wheat. I want some bread. And you say, oh, come on. Don't forget, you have to mill the wheat. So, okay, you grind the wheat. And it's like, okay, well, here's the flour. And then all of a sudden, of course, gluten-free for those that are sensitive to gluten in the audience, pun intended. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, great, here's, well, of course, you did a really great job, you're taking care of it. But now we need some firewood. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to find some fallen tree. I'm going to chop up some firewood, bring that. And, okay, well, I'll start ahead in doing that. Well, can you put some butter on my bread? Well, go ahead and milk the cow, because we don't have any butter. So you go milk the cow, you churn the butter, and I call that the skinny farmer. When you had to work so hard, but you're breathing fresh air. Everything by nature was organic back in the 1800s, unless we were downfield from a coal mine. And it's like, wow, we are so far removed 100 years later from what was. And when people ask, well, did your grandparents buy organic? They had a backyard and they had to put some fish fertilizer on and that was good to go, or cow manure from an organic cow, because once again, we didn't live in the better living through chemistry days. So it's like, yeah, we have to really tend to our bodies a lot more than our ancestors did. And I think most of the people in the audience realize that, boy, if you want to see a tough person, look at the older generation. They keep on going. They don't complain. They still can work a long day, most of them that have taken care of themselves. And I just had some work done on my new house. I had a 74-year-old craftsman do woodworking. He was on a ladder doing crown molding all day long, 74 years old, on a ladder, on his knees, doing the baseboards, And I'm going like, darn, that's a long ways down there. Whoa, that's a long ways up there. And my 22 and 26 year olds were going, how does he do it? And, you know, and once again, because they're two generations removed from him.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something to be said for how they were fed, how they were nourished, how they took care of themselves, and also how healthy their moms were, because you and I were oocytes, little eggs, unrealized, unfertilized eggs, in mom and grandma. And so now our kids were within our significant others or in ourselves, and then they are the product of multi-generational toxicity. So I think it's a very interesting time to be talking about nicotinamide riboside, the mitochondria, and the fact is we really got to take care of things, because if we get under-fueled, all of a sudden we're going to be like going up a hill and go chug up, and then we're going to end up with a condition, and we're going to be under-fueled to deal with that condition, whatever that condition might be, heart, brain, lung, or whatnot. So I take my NR on a daily basis. I'm an educator for True Niagen for the last month or so, and I did a big webinar on them. So that's my disclaimer to the audience. But I'm taking my 1,000 milligrams a day because the research showed a 142% increase in an 8-week trial. And so once again, I'm not getting paid to give this little chat. I'm just sharing it as a clinician of 28 years, a naturopathic doc, saying the elderly, chronic disease, obesity, and those infections, chronic infections. And, you know, so I think lots of us forget that Epstein-Barr virus and herpes virus, herpes 1 and herpes 2, they say by the age of 21, 70% of people have the herpes virus in their body. They might not present with cold sores or other sores, but once again, or we might be had mono. But all these burdens are in us, all kind of nibbling, or waiting for the opportunity, like shingles, to resurrect itself from the chickenpox virus.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's common how many people that I've noticed who are younger getting shingles virus too, and really bad cases of it at that. So, Dr. Chris, would you be thinking that folks should be taking something like True Niagen or a nicotinamide riboside type of supplement, like as a base supplement for anyone like 40 and above? Do you think it needs to be that way? Or do you think it needs to be a supplement that's cycled? Perhaps if someone's starting to have an overwhelm in terms of viruses building up in the system, or as in the case in which we're in right now, where there's a pandemic with a very scary virus, would you be thinking it in terms of cycling? Or is this like a everyday supplement for folks 40 and over?
I would say that for those that have health conditions or concerns, this would be definitely an everyday process. It, once again, it's 300 milligrams, 500 milligrams, or a higher dose based on what your healthcare provider recommends. But I think if we look at the organic acid pathway, that citric acid cycle, as we call it, where we go from our fats, our carbohydrates, our proteins, the food of our medicine, you know, as medicine's our food, it all fuels down through that citric acid cycle. That citric acid cycle is absolutely critical for energy production and mitochondrial performance. There's a minimum of 4 different NAD-dependent steps to go from pyruvate down through acetyl-CoA, to go through alpha-ketoglutarate, to come from alpha-ketoglutarate, and from malate onto oxaloacetate. And so all of those pathways are NAD-dependent. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, likewise in our brain and our heart and our lungs, because after all, it comes down to the mitochondria. So if I was to make the question bigger, when should we take care of the mitochondria within our body? And knowing that nicotinamide riboside to support NAD is one of the tools to take care of the mitochondria, I don't ever really like to have to play catch up with my patients, but I think both you and I often will have some patients that come in and it's like, I've tried everything else, can I try something natural now? Mm-hmm. And I welcome those patients. And yes, I'm here to help. But now we're playing catch up. It's like a deficit spending that the government does or a household. You have to pay back the debt. But how long do you have to pay back the debt, and how damaged are processes and chemistry pathways in the body? And you mentioned toxicity. When we have viruses, we have chronic inflammation. That's causing some ravages, corrosion, rust, if you want to call it, within our body, and alterations, and or if you want to call it ruts in the road, if you're in an area where you actually have lots of snow, you know that chains instead of tires leave ruts in the road. And so you want to prevent that biochemical, physiological, cellular rut in the road or corrosion or rust, for lack of a better word. And so doing it earlier on and doing it preemptively for those that are so inclined, I think makes good sense. The nicotinamide riboside's been considered generally recognized as safe in the United States, the same thing in Canada, Australia, Europe. So it's one of those things that, once again, it's an endogenous, natural process within our body to make NAD. And once again, from that de novo pathway, it's so desired, you'll convert your amino acid tryptophan at a 60 milligram to make 1 milligram of niacin to make the NAD. So it's life-sustaining. Now, that's not a scary thing. Once again, eat well first. You supplement a good diet. So eat well, eat your veggies, eat your phytonutrients, minimize your toxic burdens, drink clean, fresh water, avoid fluoridation whenever possible, unless you've been prescribed fluoride. Make sure you have all those other nourishments. And then you're topping off with the cherry on top or the whipped cream, non-allergenic, of course. So that's the goal, is to use NAD and mitochondrial support to further, you know, cherry out the car, so to speak. You know, it's like, okay, I washed the car, I got all the bug bits off, I've put in the new windshield wipers, I've made sure the tire pressure is good, I've replaced the oil, the radiator, and if you're, of course, an electric car person, you've done all the things necessary to keep electric cars so it's pristine, as showroom ready as when we were born. And of course, we all age, but I gave an example to an 85-year-old, and since he's passed, but he was 85-year-old, and he still liked doing a deep water diving and fresh water. When I say deep water diving, he'd like to go 90 to 120 feet down at the age of 85. And from a physiological perspective, for every 32 feet down, you get one more atmosphere of pressure on you. And I said, so why do you do that? He said, I'm living life, 85 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And he had a heart rhythm issue on top of it. He says, hey, I said, are you a little concerned? He said, no, I'm running larger amounts of nitrogen in my oxygen tank so that I don't have to worry about the bends. You savvy guy. And once again, plenty of testosterone, clearly, because he was not afraid of anything. And lo and behold, you know, he was looking to support his heart health. So we were doing things to support the mitochondria, NAD, MitoQ, of course, regular CoQ10, and just the no-brainers. And of course, in his case, with heart rhythm issues, we're doing magnesium and a form of taurinate and so forth to just take care of that in ribo. So once again, that whole supporting of the body is absolutely critical. And you don't want to wait until you're broken down on the side of the road. And that's why we do preventive medicine on our vehicles. And that's why we do it on our bodies.
Love it. Love it. So speaking of using the NAD, now we had talked last podcast about MitoQ, and it seems that MitoQ and NAD would work hand in hand, quite possibly, like, you know, perhaps like synergistically. Can you speak a little bit to that in terms of how one might be thinking about using both of them to help with boosting the mitochondria and what the benefit would be to use both? Or do you recommend one versus the other in certain situations?
Well, the best way I give my advice to my patients is, what do I do? So are we ready? MitoQ through Niagen, it comes in a glass bottle. Regular CoQ10 with PQQ, Benazine, which is oxalic acetate, I take all of them.
Okay.
And I take my 20 milligrams of MitoQ every day. That's what most of the clinical studies have been on. I take my 1,000 milligrams of True Niagen, which is two of the 500 milligram pills. I take my Benazine, which is oxalic acetate, which has some orphan drug use for glioblastomas and so forth, but I'm not suggesting anything like that. And then I'm using regular CoQ10 for the extracellular component, because MitoQ enters the mitochondria, mm-hmm. but I also want to deal with the respiratory chain, the electron transport chain. But then I'm also doing PQQ. And for the athletes and for those that want to stay healthy and want to maintain all these functions, this is my little regime, along with eating well, which I need to always work more on. But PQQ can help with mitochondrial, what's called mitogenesis or mitochondrial density. So I want to have more batteries. So that's like a bigger Tesla battery, which you pay a lot more for. Of course, I wanted to have my NAD, which of course I bumped up my dose from 500 milligrams to 1,000 because I'm wanting to make sure I have enough energy to deal with viruses this time of year and this time of history. my MitoQ, 20 milligrams, and then I'm taking some Benagene. Those are my go-tos, along with just a good diet and simple stuff. But love that's it. Kind of my approach. And so I put my money on all of the ponies, to be honest with you.
Hey, it works. I mean, in this day and age, I think a lot of us are in the naturopathic medicine world. Let's put it this way. I know I can't be the only practitioner that's throwing their hands up trying to fight multiple viruses in someone's system. I mean, we know that when someone ends up with all these different viruses, it's not just the viruses. It's a dysfunction in the system as a whole. And I sometimes get to the point of, why are we killing everything when perhaps maybe we need to be helping someone's system work better to take care of these infections on their own versus popping all of the herbs to kill down these viruses? What's your thought on that side of things?
Yeah, the naturopathic germ theory is what I was taught. And it comes down to susceptibility. So let's say some of our listeners come and shake our hands and say, good job, I do this. Next time, talk about that. But if someone had the cold or a virus and they shook our hand, does that mean that both of us get ill? No. And we actually, as we've seen now with the historical virus that's occurring, not everybody's getting ill equally. Not everybody's getting ill at the equal level of severity. And some are asymptomatic of various ages. And so the question is susceptibility. And so you have to nourish your immune system. And that's why I do a lot of organic acid testing in my clinical practice. I want to avoid eating foods which are problematic to what the immune system called the complement pathway. So I avoid IgG food sensitivities. Otherwise, my immune system is worrying about the IgG opposed to dealing with a viral component. We know the mitochondria are also integral thanks to the MOVs that we've chatted about. Mitochondrial membrane activation, which actually helps with the inflammation and antiviral components, but from the mitochondria. So you think about, if you could sustain the battery on our cell phone, our smart device, indefinitely, and assuming you don't break your phone like I did the other day and shatter the screen,
then I do that all of a sudden, once a week.
I'm taking care of the structural body, I'm taking care of the energy of the body. Wow. Things are looking pretty good. I won't have to trade in my phone for a very long time, because we know that battery degrading is ultimately the rate limiting factor why we turn in our smartphones. And it's like, it's getting slower and slower, it doesn't hold a charge. But what we want our bodies to do is to support that charge. But the question is, why is there so many more viral illnesses hitting us so much harder, as you just pointed out, susceptibility? Why is there so much more autism than before? When my boys were born, because they're boys, I have two of them, there's a 1 in 500 chance statistically that they would have been diagnosed with ASD or the autism spectrum experience. Now it's 1 in 48 for boys. So that's a tenfold worsening in 20 years. So that's another mitochondrial microbiome component. And then we look at the other aspects of premature aging. When will humanity start capping out and start not having a greater and greater and longer and longer life expectancy, but shorter and shorter? Will our curve start going down, and not like the viral curve, but will our life expectancy go down? And I think with what you and I are often seeing in our clinical practice is the quality of life is going down. Sick and tired of being sick and tired, tired, worn out, and in pain. See it all day long, unfortunately.
Yep. Sad. It's so sad. And speaking of quality of life going down and folks wanting to improve their life, fertility is something that I can't let us end this podcast without talking about, because you brought something up that I didn't know about, and the benefit of NAD and increasing fertility. So talk a little bit about that, because I think a lot of folks are going to be like, what? How do mitochondria have anything to do with fertility? I would love to hear your connection there.
Yeah, and what's interesting is there's millions of couples. They're called the Trying to Conceive Community, TCC. And there's millions of people that are not able to conceive. They have found, looking at the military records, that gentlemen back in the Vietnam era had more testosterone. Guys in the 30s, so right after Henry Ford, but there was hardworking men and women. Once again, they weren't immersed in all these xenoestrogens, the phthalates and parabens and styrenes and xylenes and toluenes, all which are available through an organic acid test. And it's like, wow. I mean, we want to measure organic acid with an environmental pollutant panel, but they had higher testosterone and they actually were not infertile. the men's fertility levels. You need 20 million swimmers, male contribution to fertility, in order to be fertile. And otherwise, if you're below that, your fertility levels are very greatly diminished. Back in the 30s, they were doing 3-4 times higher production of sperm as a result. So it's like, if we were any other species other than human, we would be on a watch list, if not an endangered list, with our offspring having more autism, more health concerns, more birth issues and anomalies, less normal normal neurotypicalness. We're seeing like, wow, if we were a frog, like, okay, something's going wrong, and the environmental biologists would be like looking like, okay, how do we make that habitat better? And unfortunately, we're so caught up in ourselves as human beings, we're not really doing any legislative work, any regulatory work to make our habitat better so that we don't get decimated by a virus or an illness or a chemical or a pollutant. And I think that unless we start paying attention and tending to at a larger global level, and not just at a North American level, but internationally, we're going to end up with a lot of problems that we won't be able to unfix.
Yeah, sadly, I think that there's so much. But, you know, one thing I can say definitely going well with the pandemic that we're sitting in right now, it does seem that we're doing some good for the environment. So I hope that folks will champion for that to keep the environment healthy going forward from here.
I echo that. Basically, fresher air, less greenhouse gases. And if we can work remotely while maintaining our sanity, because, you know, I think that's another thing, is we are social creatures by nature. Otherwise, we're solitary confinement. It's kind of an imprisonment. So there needs to be a little bit of freedom, safe freedom. And at the same time, we have to realize that, hey, if I can do a Zoom call instead of driving 10 miles, that's good across the board. And ultimately, it saves money, saves time. And then the question is mindfulness. One of my future books that I plan on writing, probably will be my 20th book, I'm working on my 19th book right now, will be the 4 M's. The mitochondria, the microbiome, methylation, and mindfulness. Mm. And I'm hoping with COVID-19 and just being sequestered and going through this historical event internationally, that we take some of this time to be more mindful and more grateful. And one of my favorite positive of affirmations that we all have to do before dinner or a family gathering, the thank you for the blessings of which I know and those I do not even realize.
I love that. I think on that note, we have went over all of some great concepts related to NAD and the supplementation of nicotinamide riboside. And I think we just can't say it any better than that. That was definitely like drop the mic. You said it right there. So folks, thank you for listening to another episode of The Health Fix with Dr. Chris Miletus and myself, Dr. Janine Krause. We are going to put notes of how you can find Dr. Chris Miletus online. We're going to link to some info on True Niagen, the product that Dr. Miletus was talking about, so you can learn a little more on that. And I invite you guys to keep geeking out with us. We'll be around here. Same place, same station, as they used to say. And gosh, that's a wrap. So thanks, Dr. Chris, for being on another episode of The Health Fix.
It's an honor. Keep up the great work. You're doing phenomenal work, my friend.
Thank you. Hey, Health Junkies, Dr. Janine Krause here. I hope you enjoyed my podcast. Guess what? I have a Facebook group. It's called Anti-Aging Health Tips with Dr. Janine Krause. So if you want a little bit more of The Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group and let's chat. Now, I'm also offering a health transformation and restoration program. It's a one-on-one with me, and it's for folks who are sick and tired of going to doc after doc and health coach after health coach and not seeing the results that they want and deserve. In my program, I'm working with folks with transformation. So this isn't just a light program. This is a big deal. I'm going to change how you think about your health and your life kind of program. And I'm super excited to offer it to folks. And if you are at all interested, we should talk. I'm offering 45 minutes free with me chatting to see if and how I can help you. And you can get all the details over at my website, drjkraus.com. All right. You've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Kraus. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.